Welcome to our deep dive on the history of AI. Going through these articles and research papers, I was amazed by how far back this whole thing goes. Seriously, we're talking ancient Greece.
It really makes you think, how intertwined AI is with our own history as humans. It's not just about ones and zeros, but about this fundamental desire to grasp and recreate, intelligence itself.
Okay, so Aristotle.
Yeah.
An AI influencer, not your everyday headline.
Yeah.
But seriously, our sources say he was setting the stage with his emphasis on logic and reasoning.
Absolutely. Think about it this way. Those core concepts that Aristotle was wrestling with, like how we use logic to analyze stuff, to make decisions, those ideas are still deeply connected to how we build AI today.
So you're saying those ancient ideas are the foundation for the complex algorithms we have now. That's incredible. Okay, so we have the philosophy of thinking figured out, but what about the machines themselves? Did the ancient Greeks have, like, robot philosophers hanging out in the forums?
Not exactly.
Sure.
But they did take some key steps towards mechanical computation. Jump ahead to the 16th century, we meet René Descartes, and he's really diving deep into the whole what is the mind thing and if machines could ever truly replicate it.
The age-old question.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. So where does this mechanical computation idea come into play?
Well, that's where Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz enters the picture. He was obsessed with math and logic, even designed a mechanical calculator. It might not sound like much now, I know, but it was a pivotal step towards actually physically representing computation.
Ah, so those early calculators were like the ancestors of our laptops. I can see the resemblance.
Precisely. And speaking of family resemblance, we can't forget Charles Babbage in the 19th century. This guy was brilliant, created the first programmable computational machine. It's like he blew the doors wide open.
Wait, programmable? So not just doing calculations, but telling the machine what to do with them. That's huge.
Exactly. And you know who really got what Babbage had achieved? Ada Lovelace. She was a true visionary. She saw that this machine, it could do so much more than math, that it had the potential to do things no one had even dreamed of.
It's amazing to see how these minds, centuries apart, they were all adding to this thing we now call AI.
Oh.
Okay, so from ancient Greece thinking about logic to the first programmable computer, where does this wild ride take us next?
Well, this is where it starts to feel like the AI we know, today, the 20th century. Bam. Alan Turing.
Oh, yeah, Turing. The Turing test guy, right? Trying to tell if you're talking to a machine or a person.
That's the one. But his influence, it goes way beyond that. Turing, he was a true pioneer of computer science. He dug into, the essence of what makes something computable.
Okay, so computable meaning some of these terms, I gotta admit, they go over my head.
It's jargony, for sure. Basically, Turing figured out if you can break a problem down step by step, instructions, a machine can solve it. Think of it like a recipe. If you write down the steps, a machine, in theory, can follow them.
Okay, yeah, that makes way more sense. So Turing figured out what machines could even try to do, and then came, the official AI is a thing moment. Our sources, they point to the 1950s.
Spot on. The 50s. Huge decade. That's where John McCarthy comes in. He's often called the father of artificial intelligence. He's the one who coined the term.
Get out. So if it wasn't for McCarthy, we'd be calling this deep dive something totally different, like really smart machines or something.
Exactly. But more importantly than the name McCarthy, he brings everyone together at the Dartmouth Conference. This is 1956. All these brilliant minds and their focus, this wild idea, can we build machines that actually think like us?
And what were those early systems like? I'm picturing something a little less, advanced than what we've got now.
Oh, for sure. It was all about symbolic reasoning back then. Imagine you give a computer this massive rule book, right, to understand a problem. Like teaching it chess by programming in every single move, every response.
So crazy specific instructions for, every possible scenario. I can imagine that got complicated fast.
You said it. It worked, but it was super limited. Programmers, they could only think of so many situations. AI, it needed to learn, to adapt on its own. That's where machine learning comes in. Starts picking up steam in the 80s and 90s.
Machine learning. Oh. So instead of those hard-coded rules, we're talking about teaching machines to learn from data.
Exactly. This is where you start seeing algorithms that can analyze data, spot patterns, and actually get better over time.
So instead of super specific instructions, now it's algorithms that can learn, adapt, almost like our brains do, right? Big difference.
Huge. But even with machine learning, right, there were still roadblocks. Imagine this amazing race car, right? Ready to go, raring to learn, but only a tiny bit of fuel. Nowhere to really open it up.
Okay, I'm getting the metaphor here. What was the missing fuel for those earlier machine learning algorithms?
Data. They needed tons of it, massive amounts of information to really learn, you know, and the computing power to actually process it all. That's where the 21st century comes in, like, boom.
Internet takes off. Data is everywhere. Computers are getting crazy powerful. The perfect storm.
Totally. And right in the middle of it all, deep learning pops up. Remember Geoffrey Hinton, the neural network guy? Well, his work, along with some other brilliant people, they took those early neural networks and, like, unleashed them.
Okay, so deep learning is machine learning, but supercharged. Our sources mentioned something called AlexNet as a big deal here. What was that all about?
AlexNet, that was a game changer. 2012, this deep learning model built by Alex Krizhevsky, Ilya Sutskever, and yeah, our friend Geoffrey Hinton again, it just blew everyone out of the water in this image recognition challenge.
So it could basically identify and categorize images better than anything like ever before.
Exactly. And so accurately, it was crazy. Like, everyone in AI was suddenly all about deep learning. It just exploded from there.
And that takes us to basically the AI we know and use today. From figuring out logic in ancient Greece to AI that understands images, wow.
And it's not over yet. Think about how much AI is already a part of our lives, right? Your virtual assistants, those recommendations when you're shopping online, even just, you know, your spam filter, all AI.
It really is incredible when you think about it like that. We went from can machines think to relying on them for all sorts of things without even thinking twice.
Mm-hmm.
What about those advancements that still feel like they're straight out of sci-fi? Self-driving cars, for example.
It's wild. We're living in the future we used to read about. But here's the thing, right? As AI gets more and more sophisticated, it's not just about what it can do, it's about what we want it to do and how we make sure that happens responsibly.
That's a really good point. It's like we've spent centuries laying the groundwork, building these incredible tools, and now it's on us to make sure they're used for good.
Exactly. We all have a role to play here. The future of AI, it's being shaped right now by all of us.
What a journey through the world of AI. From Aristotle to self-driving cars, who would have guessed? Seriously, a lot to think about today. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive.
Absolutely. Exciting times to be thinking about AI, that's for sure.